The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille. Official media partner, the Italian Wine Podcast, is delighted to present a series of interviews and highlights from the 2023 Wine to Wine Business Forum, featuring Italian wine producers and bringing together some of the most influential voices in the sector to discuss the hottest topics facing the industry today. Don't forget to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. or visit theitalianwinepodcast.com for more information.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining. We're starting right on time, which is exciting. I'm really glad to see so many of you here so late in the second day. My name is Erica Nani, and I'm a U.S.-based marketing communications agency founder, and I'm flanked by two fellow Americans, incidentally, talking about the new wine media. And it's an exciting time for wine journalism. We seem to have a bigger constellation of voices and a greater mobility of talent in wine media than ever, which is a nice way of acknowledging that some very talented journalists have had to and been able to build something new. We're seeing innovation, but also a return to subscription models, both in traditional media framework and with the likes of Substack and self-driven platforms. We're also seeing a conflation from where I sit as an agency person of journalism and quote-unquote content creation. But we're not here to talk about new modes of production and consumption as such, like through AI or new social platforms. Instead, we're looking at a handful of newer outlets that hew to traditional models while affirming timeless principles of journalism, of storytelling that are both useful to the consumer and financially viable for the long term. Christy Canterbury, to my right, is a master of wine who lives between Brooklyn and the vineyards of the world. She was the 7th woman in the U.S. to earn the MW title. And today, she has a rich roster of professional commitments, from serving as brand ambassador for Georgian wine in the USA to writing for a selected and ambitious group of media titles that transcend borders. She will talk about some common threads between these titles and give us clear, actionable takeaways for wineries looking to share their stories. Lisa Parati-Brown, to my left, is also a master of wine and co-founder of The Wine Independent. She lives in the Napa Valley of California. She will present the journalistic model of The Wine Independent and make the case for a more powerful storytelling approach that includes great visuals and more meaningful wine reviews. So with that, I will turn it over to Christy to kick us off.
Okay, great. Thank you. And thank you for having me here, Erica. My breadth of publications differs a little bit in how I tend to approach meetings with wineries, and might be a little bit different from the way Lisa does. There are definitely times when I accept an appointment and I have a very specific agenda in mind. I'm reviewing a certain vintage, for example. Just spent 3 weeks in Burgundy doing that, and that's quite clear. And then our approaches might be sometimes the same.
Are you enjoying this podcast? There is so much more high-quality wine content available from Mama Jumbo Shrimp. Check out our new wine study maps, our books on Italian wine, including Italian Wine Unplugged, The Jumbo Shrimp Guide to Italian Wine, Sangiovese Lambrusco and Other Stories, and much, much more on our website, mamajumboshrimp.com. Now back to the show.
But I often go into a meeting, whether it's in New York with a winemaker or at a winery, not really knowing what I'm going to talk about once I come out of that meeting. And I'm there to learn, to kind of absorb, to listen, and to hopefully tease out something that is that's really special, something different, and something that one of the readers of many of the different publications that I write for would be interested in. And because I know that I'm there to discover, and I'm being sold to a story, and then I have to turn around and sell it to my editors and readers. And I wanted to start very specifically because it's about Italy, but about a story that I wrote this summer or spring As you can see, this is for the New Wine Review, a new publication that just launched 7 months ago or so, purely digital. And it's about BB Greats. And I particularly love the story, not just because it's my baby, but because it was not what everyone else was talking about at the time. BB was doing a lot of the rounds. He was in London. He was in New York. He was across the U.S. Talking about his new wines, his Baiocchi, which are going to the Place de Bordeaux. And, of course, there's a very clear story. And I sat down with BB for an hour or so, and we talked about the wines, and I tasted his choice as Baiocchi. And then I said, well, but you're a white wine, you know, all these white wines, what is this? And what is Giulio Island? His face changed. And I got excited. I'm like, ooh, this is different. And because he was very scripted on the Baiocchi, and Place de Bordeaux and all this, which is great, and it's definitely news, and it's an interesting story. But he suddenly went off-piste, and he let me go with him and take him further off-piste. And it turned out to be a kind of a fun story because it's a little bit about wine, but it's really about his childhood summers on Giulio Island, kind of resuscitating winemaking there, which is very really just local and for the locals. Only some wines were bottled commercially. And so I spent half of my time with him that day talking about Giulio Island, got to sell that to my editor, and then came back around and said, hey, will you spend another half an hour with me? I promise it'll be just half an hour just to refine the story. And it's a very human interest story. You kind of go down, he's very visual. He kind of takes you to a place. He makes you smell and think of things. You feel like you're sitting in the Mediterranean in the clear blue sea. And so it is wine adjacent, and there are wine tasting notes attached to this, and I write about the Baiocchi and all this as well. But it's very much kind of a different nature of a story. And so one of the things that I loved about it was that sometimes you definitely hear a script. It's almost like you're being read a press release. And I understand, especially when producers are in a group, you know, when you're talking to multiple journalists at once, okay, you can't entertain everyone's personal interests. You kind of have to stick to the subject matter at hand. But especially when you have an opportunity to explore something that a journalist kind of teases out and says, hey, that's really kind of interesting. Tell me more. Entertain that, because there might be something truly unique that comes out. So this is, probably can't read that, my highlights up here, but this is kind of my, this is a one of my Burgundy special reports for Tim Atkin, who's a master of wine in the UK. I've spent 20 years going to Burgundy and have written 3 Burgundy reports for Tim. And this is a completely different nature, a completely different style of publication. It's very heavy on geeky details. If you want to know that it rained in July, but you want to know that it rained on the 14th and not the 15th of July, this is where you go. So it's very, it's labor of love, lots of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears go into this. And because lots of people do really want the details and want it teased, they want them teased out, and they want an inside authentic story that is different than what I would write for the New Wine Review, which is a little bit higher level. Give me kind of the catchphrases of what I need to know about a vintage or about this producer or about the wines they make. Here you really get into the nitty gritty. And part of my message with this is don't think about in advance the things that are really quotable to say. One of the greatest gifts, at least I would imagine you'd agree, is like when you get someone who's just so quotable that you can't keep writing down the things they say because they're just reeling off and they're coming out so quickly. So it's really nice when you have someone who is willing to say spicy things, and willing to say something that maybe everyone else won't say. Because if you say kind of the same things, oh, it was a tough vintage, but we got through, and that's fair. Everyone wants to see things positively and have a silver lining sometimes when things don't go so well. But you risk kind of getting caught up with the crowd and not being quoted. And here I've got the 2021 vintage in Burgundy was really tough. Here I've quoted Frank Grooks, who spent 34, 35 years this year and is just retiring with Olivier Lefleuve. And he says, you know, it was an annus horribilis. It's like, okay, great, you know, Latin, that's catchy. That'll pull some eyeballs in. But then the second quote was definitely my favorite, from Yves Confurant, who is very plain spoken. He said, it was disgusting. I'm like, awesome, I can use that. So it's, you know, it's great to have things that are really quotable. And of course, both of these people are very happy with the wines they made. They make very good wines. But, you know, you have to kind of draw someone in, and you need those really kind of those eye catchers, kind of kinds of quotes. And even I've highlighted further down on the page Christophe Deolat, Louis Latour, and I've got to bend over to see this. But he said the vintage causes so much suffering that it's hard to like the wines. Don't be afraid to say things that might seem a little bit negative, that aren't, you know, everything's growing daisies. Because also journalists who are serious about what they do, they're not going to take it and make it so negative that you, as we were just discussing at lunch, you don't get invited back. We're not here to destroy anyone. We're here to be very honest, and we're part of the ecosystem. Do give us things that are you know, honest, that are catchy. And maybe it's like, oh, you know, maybe it's not something that you are thinking about the vintage, you know, something like, oh, you know, my nonna always said that in cold vintages, this happens when you age them for 20 years, whatever it is. But something that will help us bring the readers to you and think, oh, okay, I want to learn more about that man or that woman and the wines that he or she made. And then I wanted to talk very briefly about a new this year publication that is so edgy. It's retro, and it's actually paper. Very pretty paper. Not glossy, not big. Recycled paper. Very inclusive ideas. This is Lauren Buzeo, Full Pour. She was previously the Wine Enthusiast. And this is actually a magazine that might give many of us here a little bit of agita. I think, oh, God, don't talk to me about, you know, cannabis in drinks and things. But it's very inclusive. There are articles about tea grown in America. But it's really very much for the next generation. I have copies. You can come look at them if you would like afterwards. But there are even... talk about telling a story differently, bringing in the new generation, making them interested in beverages. And this happens to be about beer, but it's a comic strip about how Weiss beer was very popular, fell out of popularity, and was brought back and is doing very well today. Very beautiful, very different. Again, I think very retro appeal. That is paper. It is physical. There are some wine reviews, but it's more about stories about wine. Stories about what is funk in wine, how do you talk about it, what's good funk, what's bad funk. But trying to just be honest, include lots of different kinds of beverages and very much appeal to the next generation, but in a very retro way and very beautiful, just incredible illustrations. So, yes, if you are, I don't know that he's in here, but, you know, if you're doing something really different, wine in cans or RTDs in cans, this is definitely the kind of publication that you would want to reach out to. And to me, to write about it for them. And I'll pass this on. Oh, okay. So a couple of takeaways from this is just... you know, again, if a professional journalist wants to take you on a sidebar, please entertain it. There's, again, if you're not speaking to a whole group and you have time for a one-on-one, they're looking to tease out something. They see something special. They see something different. You know, not to sound jaded, but we hear lots of this similar stories a lot of the time. So when we want to kind of go down a golden brick road, we feel like we've got something very different. As I was saying, you know, say things that are quotable, think about quotes in advance. And also don't ever be afraid with a professional journalist, again, we always want to see you again. But don't be afraid to tell us things that and say that they're off the record. I mentioned I was in Burgundy. I had someone telling me something that I can't tell you about because he asked me not to. And he said, no, don't even write it down. But I want you to understand what I think about it and what I see and how I think this is affecting Burgundy right now. Just don't repeat it. And I did specifically say, I said, can I say that a producer in the Cote d'Or said, and he said, please don't say that. But I want you to understand what I think this is doing to the region that my family has been growing grapes in for hundreds of years. Because it helps us understand and helps us look for other avenues, other things to talk about in various wine stories. I've already talked about the gift of great quotes. And just one final request. Never, ever ask a journalist to read your piece in advance of it being published. I have definitely had to eliminate producers who've asked me to review what they have, what I have written about their property previously. It's very uncomfortable because you're always on record unless you say that you're not on record. And if you don't trust a journalist, they probably shouldn't be in your presence. But I recently had an issue with an importer in New York who I did actually say, look, listen, here's your part of it. I understand you work for a giant corporation. Just tell me if there's something that is going to make you lose your job tomorrow. I knew that there wasn't. And I did entertain that. And he came back to me with actual edits. And his English is very good. But he edited errors into my story. And I said, thank you so much. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And I didn't change anything. There has to be a pathway, a two-way pathway of trust. So that's just one thing I would ask in return.
Thank you, Christy. I'm really glad you said that because it put some spice into my experience of this seminar. As a publicist, this is a little bit hard to read, and I really respect you for requesting it, particularly where you say, the story isn't yours, because I hear you. And it must be really hard for a winery, though, to hear that, and that this is a partnership, and it's a relationship that is fundamentally based on trust. So I think what you said about choosing to talk with a journalist whom you trust and to trust a professional journalist is a point really well taken.
Thanks.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.